Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining the results presentation. Value Partners Group Limited, Hong Kong Stock Code 806, today announced its 2019 interim results for the 6 months ended 30th June 2019. The management team will go through with you the financial and business performance of the company. The presentation will last for around 10 minutes. Please allow me to introduce the management team on the call this evening. We have President Dr. Ao King Lun and Chief Financial Officer Icy Wong. Ms. Wong will now begin the presentation.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us. I would like to begin with an overview of our financial highlights, which is presented on slide 4 of our presentation. For the first half of 2019, with stringent cost control and mark-to-market gains of the group's investment in its own funds, we delivered a 29.1% rise in profit attributable to owners of the company to 250.9 million Hong Kong dollars. While a dip in performance fees sent our operating profits lower to 162 million Hong Kong dollars. As the date of performance fee crystallization for most of our major own brand funds are at the end of the year, and fund performance in the second half of the year will determine our ability to collect more performance fee in 2019. Gross management fees, our largest revenue contributor, dropped 4.7% to 679.5 million Hong Kong dollars, on a 3.9% decrease in our average AUM to 17 billion US dollars. Our annualized gross management fee margin remained stable at 103 basis points, and our annualized net management fee margin was narrowed down slightly to 57 basis points, as management fees rebates for distribution channels increased to 312 million Hong Kong dollars from 303 million Hong Kong dollars a year ago. Looking at slide 5, despite the choppy markets, our AUM stood at 18.1 billion US dollars, which registered a 20.1% increase compared to our end of 2018 AUM at 15 billion US dollars. Such growth was mainly bolstered by positive fund returns of 1.56 billion US dollars and net inflow of 1.76 billion US dollars in the first half of 2019. The resilient performance was supported by both market recovery in the first quarter and investor continuing demands for our fixed income funds, especially the Greater China High Yield Income Fund, which generates stable income amid heightened geopolitical uncertainties and a prolonged no-interest rate era. Our fast-expanding business on mainland China also contributes to the net inflows. On a separate note, I would also like to report that subsequent to the period end 30th June, we have a major redemptions from a white label client that will bring total redemptions from this client this year to approximately 2 billion US dollars as a result of the client's restructuring of its portfolio management arrangement. However, we don't expect the reduction of AUM from this particular client to cause material impact on the earnings of the group. Let's move on to discuss the breakdown of our AUM components. The charts on slide 6 shows breakdowns of our AUM as of 30th June 2019 using two different classifiers, by brand and by strategy. Our own brand funds account for 73% and remained as the biggest contributor to our group's AUM. From strategy perspective, absolute return long bias funds continue to represent the largest share of the group's AUM, accounting for 56%, followed by fixed income funds, which increased to 42% from 36% 6 months ago. The majority of the AUM under fixed income funds was contributed by our flagship Greater China High Yield Income Fund. The share of group's AUM accounted for by Greater China High Yield Income Fund increased steadily during that period. Geographically, Hong Kong clients continue to be our largest segment, contributing 77% of AUM. There was a notable rise in the share of AUM attributable to clients from the mainland market, which increased to 8% as our mainland business saw solid growth in the first half. The split from Singaporean markets remained at 7%, while clients from United States and Europe took up a combined 5%. Looking at our cost structure on slide 7, we continue to exercise stringent cost discipline and kept fixed operating expense well covered by net management fee income, which is a relatively stable source of income. Our total expense in the first half of 2019 dropped 3% compared to a year ago to 259 million Hong Kong dollars. We aim to maintain a fixed cost coverage ratio of around 2 times. For the current period, our fixed cost coverage ratio was 2.2 times. Looking at our financial position on slide 8, our balance sheet and cash flow position remained strong and had 2.1 billion Hong Kong dollars of cash and equivalents on the balance sheet as of 30th June 2019, compared to 1.6 billion Hong Kong dollars 6 months ago. We also continue to maintain a position of zero debt. This is the end of our financial highlights part. I would like to hand the call over to King, who will present a review of the group's business.
Thank you, Icy. Good evening, everyone. Global financial markets experienced a turbulent ride in the first half of 2019, primarily due to the U.S.-China trade overhang and sluggish global economic growth. However, despite the squeeze that this harsh environment had on our top line, we are pleased to report that we have made great inroads with our business on mainland China and satisfactory progress in broadening our product suite. Highlights are shown on slide 10. As a pioneer investor in the Greater China market since 1993, we are pleased to see our capability and expertise being recognized as the best in class among global peers. Geographically, we have expanded our presence farther afield with the opening of our U.S. office in Boston at the beginning of this year. With this latest overseas office, our global footprints have extended beyond Hong Kong and mainland China to the U.S., the U.K., Singapore, and Malaysia. We have seen encouraging inflows and business opportunities across all our overseas offices so far. Over the past year, we continue to broaden our product suite by adding alternative strategy, as it represents not only a necessary and complementary addition to our revenue mix, but also a new growth frontier. I will now go into a more detailed discussion of the progress that we have made with broadening our product suite, growing our mainland business, and expanding our global footprint. Slide 11 shows the breakthroughs and growth that our business on mainland China has seen. This year not only signifies a new chapter of our China's capital market, but it is also the 10th anniversary since we established our first Shanghai office in 2009. During the past decade, we have identified and participated in many opportunities on mainland China, making them a crucial part of our success story. The positive momentum continued well into the first half of 2019, with our AUM on the mainland increasing by more than 35% to finish at $1.5 billion. The growth was mainly underpinned by the winning of new onshore mandates, strong flows into existing accounts, and successful fund launches. We also further broadened the scope of our business on the mainland by tapping the public fund market. In March this year, we successfully launched our flagship Classic Fund under the MRF program. Our China business team has also established a number of channels with our key distribution partners marketing the Classic Fund. Besides, we have also established a total of 6 private fund management mandates since became the first Hong Kong-based asset manager to be granted the license in November 2017. As the mainland quickens the pace of financial reforms, we will continue to seize every opportunity to further develop our mainland business and expand our services. Next, I would also like to share an update on our efforts to build our alternatives capabilities and products, which is highlighted on slide 12. Over the past year, we made great inroads in growing our alternative investment capabilities, which cover private equity and private debt. In private equity, we aim to complete our inaugural onshore private equity fund on the mainland, focusing on the higher education sector in the near future. In private debt, we completed successfully the first closing of our Asia-Pacific-focused private debt fund in January. In February this year, we have further broadened our multi-asset solution by launching an Asian Innovation Opportunities Fund. It is a public fund authorized in Hong Kong that targets to invest in Asian companies benefiting from business and product innovation. Please turn to slide 13. Besides our strategic focus on the mainland market and product expansion, I'm pleased to share that our London office has made good progress in growing our business in Europe. We recently completed the restructuring of our UCITS fund platform and are now planning to register selected UCITS funds for sales in Hong Kong and other parts of Asia. Southeast Asia, an important component of China's Belt and Road Initiative, is another business focus for us in 2019. For the past year, we have been proactively preparing for business expansion in Malaysia, where we will be launching new innovative products, including Sharia-compliant funds and Southeast Asia-focused smart ETFs. We have also gained good traction with our private banking partners in Singapore. Looking forward, headwinds from trade tensions and geopolitics will continue to put pressure on financial markets in the foreseeable future. In the light of this, we will continue to strengthen our fund management capability and develop investment solutions to help investors navigate the challenging market environment. As IC discussed earlier, we will prudently manage our resources to ensure that we strike an important balance between achieving cost control targets and investing sufficiently in our future growth. Value Partners is well situated to capture opportunities stemming from China's rise as one of the world's largest wealth management market and investment destination. Although with uncertainties of China's economic slowdown and trade disputes with the U.S., we still see China offering historical opportunities to asset managers like us as China continues with its rapid accumulation of household assets and financial market reforms. That concludes our results presentation. Thank you, everyone.